Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
We don't do politics, but it's hard to ignore this one. I'm just going to read it real quick because it just happened. President Trump has kicked off his second term with a flurry of executive actions, as you know. One of them includes declassifying the investigations into the assassinations of JFK, RFK, and Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah.
We will bring that back if and when it happens. It's not going to be today. There has to be some.
In theory, it's supposed to happen today. Now somebody has to go through and unredact.
Is that a word?
That is a word.
Redact, do you re-redact?
It's all been redacted. So the files that they have released, because there were a number of files released under the previous administration.
Well, and that was almost comical.
They had like 8 words a page. Yeah. And the words that were we could actually read were like the and and but. And so somebody has to go through and take those files because those files, you know, they didn't mark those files up with a black marker. They were marked up digitally. So they have to go through and remove all of those black bars from all of those words. It'll take some time, but in theory, it should be done today.
Now, I would imagine the thinking is, because this is the only way that this would be reasonable slash logical, is everybody named in those documents has now since passed.
We've thought for years everyone's name that has since passed. Look, there was one or two Secret Service guys that were still around that were there.
There was one guy who lived in Overland Park and wrote a book in the late 90s. And he was on the Secret Service detail when Kennedy was shot. He retired in Overland Park.
Resident conspiracy theorist, I can't wait to see those documents, but I do worry about the implications.
Would you care to expand on that?
It might shed light onto certain procedures that went on within the confines of this country that, as Americans, we would never be able to stomach the reality.
Well, you know, but I hear what you're saying. I hate that line of thinking, though, and here's why. And, you know, for a long time, there have been conspiracy theories about Roswell, New Mexico, and Area 51.
Yeah.
And some people have argued the American people, you know, let's say there really are extraterrestrials, aliens, that the American people wouldn't be able to handle the truth, or it would decimate organized religion or whatever if we were to someday find out that we're not the only ones in the universe. And I'm a religious man, but I think it's crazy to think that we're the only living creatures in something so large you can't even contemplate it in your brain.
Of course.
And so what? Trust the American people, trust the population of the world to be grown up enough that if, let's say the government was somehow involved in the assassination of JFK. Okay.
Well, then that's, you know, I think there would be a lot of very proud American egos that would be crushed by that knowledge.
But at least just tell us the truth and let us process it.
It's not going to matter, and here's why. For the most diehard conspiracy theorists out there,
they'll just come up with another one.
Yes, if they release all of the unredacted documents, the conspiracy theorists would say, well, I mean, I just don't believe they really released them. What else
these are
is
fake,
real?
These are fake documents.
These are deep fakes. Where are the real documents? Yeah. You're never going to.
It depends on what the documents say. If the documents say that Lee Harvey Oswald did it, I'm not buying a word that document says. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think he probably was involved. I just don't think he was the only one involved. Now, who else was involved? Was he paid? Was he set up? I don't know. But I actually applaud this decision. Let's release the documents. Let the American people be grown-ups, and we can make up our own minds. We're big boys and girls.
And now back to not politics.
Oh, yeah, a solitary sunfish at an aquarium in southwestern Japan.
I saw this.
Lost its appetite, began banging into the side of the fish tank, and appeared unwell days after the facility closed last month for renovations. You know what they did? By the way, the sunfish who lived in that aquarium, that tank alone, was lonely because it didn't see people and was sad and depressed. They brought in human cutouts and dressed them up. And the sunfish has recovered, is eating regularly.
That's crazy.
Is not banging its head up against the side of the tank anymore.
We are meant to be around others.
The NFL has fined Houston Texans running back Joe Mixon for something he didn't do. Did you see this story?
I did.
Houston Texans running back Joe Mixon is getting fined by the NFL. Here's the funny part. He's getting in trouble for something that somebody else did. After the Texans' 23-14 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, the league office was not pleased with how several players responded over the perceived errors in officiating on several players. Multiple Texans, including their head coach and defensive end Will Anderson Jr., voiced their frustrations about having to be us against the refs. Quote, yep. Mixon voiced his opinion, telling reporters post-game that when playing at Arrowhead Stadium. And all he said was, in the locker room, you can never leave it in the ref's hands. The whole world sees. Then the league fined him $25,000 for tweeting out post-game, why play the game if every 50-50 call goes with the Chiefs?
It doesn't!
These officials are trash and bias.
Well, there's your fine right there.
There's your fine.
What do you mean?
He didn't write that. That was on the Twitter post from a Cincinnati Bengals receiver. That's who wrote it.
Oh.
Did he like the comment?
Nope. There's no indication in here that he did.
Hmm.
Now, if I were the NFL, I could easily argue that him saying, you can't leave it in the ref's hands, is him implying that the refs are going to side with the Chiefs every single time.
Which, by the way, they have looked at, and it is just not true.
But you can't fine based on implications, can you?
I don't think you can. But he got fined, according to the league, for that Twitter post. That Twitter post was written by a member of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Venmo?
Beg your pardon?
Take Venmo?
Well, those Bengals players have a lot of free time.
By the way, and we're just going to update you on this story. Everybody recalls, I believe it was a little over a week ago, that actually two Fridays ago, so two weeks ago tomorrow, that a sports reporter for a Platte County newspaper was shot and killed in what authorities believe is a road rage incident in the Northland on I-29. His name was Dennis Sharkey. He was 50 years old, and he wrote for the Citizen newspaper. The Metro Squad formed. They have collected video, or they did collect video, from all the businesses along that stretch of I-29. They can't find anything. No witnesses have really come forward. There is no evidence that they could find. The Metro Squad has disbanded.
Now, Metro Squads are not meant to
be forever.
Convene forever. It is to get in quickly, chase down as many leads as you can, hopefully come up with a suspect. I still cannot believe was it 7 p.m. that happened?
It was roughly between 6:30 and 7 p.m.
That no one saw what was leading up to the fatal shooting, where the aggressor got out of their car, approached his car.
For whatever reason, traffic was not moving.
Yes, and shot
I-29.
And killed him.
It's so sad. And my heart breaks for his family. And we had Eric Zahn, the Platte County prosecutor, on shortly thereafter because they were just stumped. They had no leads, and he came on to say, hey, we need some help. And apparently that went unanswered. But Eric Zahn, because I asked him in that interview, have you ever met Dennis Sharkey? And he said, yes, a handful of times. He was a wonderful man, and it's a shame.
Could it be that there was really an instance where nobody saw anything? I mean, we are so aggressively in our own lane, for lack of a better term, as we go through life now, that if something looks like it's a little bit off, our human nature says to avoid, avoid, avoid. And so if they saw something going down, there's a good chance that every single person driving by was like, oh, 10 and 2, eyes on the road.
They posted, I think it was the Marion Police Department, in the last couple of days, there was a wreck on the highway that looked to be right smack dab in the middle of the highway. So not far left lane, no one moved over. Not far right lane, where everyone moved. Like right smack dab on the highway, this wreck happened.
Okay.
And they posted dash cam overnight of an officer up sort of toward the flashing lights, narrowly escaping with his life, after a car just comes flying into frame, going full highway speed. And Scott, these were like three or four emergency vehicles are right smack dab in the middle of the highway. You can see the lights from
a mile. Lights are a flash.
You can see it.
Okay.
This car just goes whoom right on through it, and at the very last second kind of gets over so that the officer's not hit.
Thank God.
And they showed the video, and they're like, pay attention. Not for just your life and the lives of those around you. From the officer's perspective, where if you're not going to see that in the middle of the road with all of those emergency vehicle lights flashing, you are clearly so buried in your phone, you are not, you are oblivious to what's going on around you.
I am amazed just driving down Shawnee Mission Parkway to work every day. Obviously, I can't see them at night, but during the day on my way to work, how many people, after all these years, are still nose deep into their phone while they're driving?
There was a woman today as I was taking the exit onto 69 Highway from 435. It is a long swooping exit. You maintain 55, 60 miles an hour on that exit.
Yep.
She was swerving back and forth, and I was like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. I get up onto 69 Highway, and I get beside her. She's some 60-year-old woman, and she has her phone propped up on top of her steering wheel, texting with both hands.
Oh, my God.
And I, like, tried to get her attention, waving at her. She never looked up from the phone.
Because driving for her is a secondary need. Texting whomever she's texting is her only real concern. And you and everybody around her, be damned.
And it was dense traffic. I mean, she was nearly hitting cars on both sides as she was swerving back and forth.
So, Scott, get off your high horse. Act like you don't text when you drive. I don't. Have I in the past when it was a newer technology? Yes. But I have been rear-ended twice.
Oh, that's right.
Twice by somebody who hit me. I was at a stoplight both times, and both times, this is just anecdotal, both times it was a woman. And both times they plowed into the back of my car going the speed limit. They weren't even paying attention.
And the first thing they say when they get out of the car, sorry, I was looking at my phone. No. I'm like, why are you admitting it?
They don't. Sam, they don't. They just say, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. Yes, you do. There's a reason you plowed into the back of me going the speed limit. Because you weren't looking up. I will not look at my phone if my car is moving. Anyway, 913-586-7798. Sorry for the rant. You've heard the saying, a penny for your thoughts. But how long can we say that when there's talk of getting rid of the penny?
And do you know what it costs to be a penny? I heard this on Middays, and I was like, what?
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Story here from CBS News. The Department of Government Efficiency has a new target in its sights for trimming federal spending, and that target would be the U.S. penny. In a post on Twitter, Elon Musk wrote that the U.S. spends about 3 cents to mint each penny, which of course is only valued at 1 cent. Quoting here from Musk, the penny costs over 3 cents to make and costs U.S. taxpayers more than $179 million to make in fiscal year 2023. The mint produced over 4.5 billion pennies that year, around 40% of the 11 billion coins for circulation produced. In pointing out the penny's costliness, Doge is taking aim at an issue that has sparked debate for years. Again, this is not political. We're just talking about whether or not the penny should be taken out of circulation. Although the price of manufacturing the cent has only grown over the past several years. In 2016, for example, the U.S. was spending about 1.5 cents to mint each penny, or less than half of its current manufacturing cost.
Makes sense to me.
I had no idea it costs three times the worth of the penny to make the penny. Why are we still doing this?
I don't know. By the way, pennies are not made of copper. They're mostly made of zinc with a copper overlay to give them the distinctive color.
If they were made with copper, it would cost like 30 cents to make a penny.
Okay, how much does it cost to make a nickel? I go further than that. Why do we still have change? Why can't we just round down?
Because nobody would round down.
Here it is. It costs 11.54 cents to make a nickel.
Yeah.
Why are we producing nickels? Let me see. How much does it cost to make a dime?
And I'll look up a quarter.
Okay. A dime, 3.9 cents. We're good with the dime.
Well, but it's also very small.
Smaller.
It's the smallest of all the change to make a quarter.
I say we keep the dime. It costs 11 cents to make a quarter. All right, here we go. We're going to solve this right now. You keep the dime, you keep the quarter. Everything else gots to go.
I agree
with you, too.
Have at it.
Right? If a nickel costs 11 cents, think about how much money we're wasting on that.
Well, and a nickel costs 11 cents to make, and it's also the least utilized coin.
Is that a fact?
That is a fact.
Huh.
The most you ever need when counting change is one.
What?
The most nickels
He's right.
you would ever need when
He's
counting
right.
change is one.
Oh, it's
the least
it
utilized
way.
Coin.
Right. Well, then why stop with the penny? Someone needs to Google what we just did, and then you'll be like, yeah, the nickel's got to go.
I'm gonna look up how much does the U.S. spend to make nickels every year.
Is it truly illegal if you throw money out?
No.
It is illegal to cut a coin like with an aluminum cutter. That's technically defacing government property.
I thought throwing it out was illegal.
It's my property.
Was that like an old wives' tale, like you shouldn't pee in the pool when you... Well, you really shouldn't pee in the pool. But your mom used to tell you that if you peed in the pool, like this huge dark ink stain would emanate from your body. And everyone would go, oh my gosh, she just peed in the pool.
The U.S. spent in 2023... See, this goes against this story here. Because this story says that U.S. taxpayers spent $179 million to print pennies in fiscal year 2023. But this says in 2023, the U.S. spent $179 million
to
mint nickels and pennies.
How many dimes is it?
Right? But I'm all for it. There is a reason when you go to a convenience store, there is a penny jar or penny tray.
We got rid of the wheat penny.
Testing was actually completed in 2022, and the Mint says there would be minimal impact, if any, to the public.
Now,
I
don't think we can go past the dime.
No, I don't either.
There are people who live in monetary situations where they are literally counting pennies.
Now, we wouldn't take the penny out of circulation. We would just stop printing them minting.
When they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah. And this
but
story,
they would never be gone because I pass it to you and you pass it to Scott and eventually maybe it ends back up at the Mint and they destroy it.
When you see a penny on the ground, do you even bother to pick it up?
No.
It's so worthless. If I saw a quarter, I would pick that up.
Well, is it heads up or heads down?
It's Who cares?
I pick it up if it's heads up every time. Left shoe.
Okay. There are 11.4 billion pennies currently in circulation.
Okay, that's plenty.
And let's just say
that's plenty.
When they're gone, they're gone. And then we move on.
So then do they become like...
rare and worth a whole lot more?
Yeah, uber rare. We see this resurgence of what they're worth?
Not when everybody in America is keeping a handful for themselves.
You don't even know you have them. They're in your couch. They're under your car.
We have a little glass jug.
We do too.
With a cork in it in the garage. And if I go to the gas station and get a Gatorade and I paid cash... If I get change, I leave it in my wallet until I get home, and I just put it all, whether it's a penny, a nickel, a dime, a quarter, doesn't matter, and I'll put it in the glass jug. By the way, I took that glass jug to the bank about 7, 8, 9 months ago.
The rainy day fund.
Poured it into that machine inside the bank.
How much? That's what Coinstar is for at the grocery store.
Well, they have the same thing in the bank.
Okay.
But there's no fee at the bank. You get it all.
Okay. How much?
$307.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious.
Is it a huge jug?
It's about this big.
All right.
And it wasn't all the way full.
Like taller than a milk jug and wider, but it wasn't all the way full.
It's about this big around.
All right.
It's got a little circular finger handle, and I just put my finger in there.
We have the exact same thing on a little table in the bedroom.
$303 or something like that.
What'd you do with it?
I gave it to her. It's her money.
It's like free money.
I use a 1990s Miller Lite plastic beer bottle.
Yeah.
It's like the size of a dog for my coin bank.
It was T's. She brought it over to the house. So when, you know, it was $303. I get home and I said, here, honey, it was $250. Kept 53 for myself.
Well, good for you.
No, I didn't. I gave her all of it.
Should be the cost of doing business.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Your calls, your comments in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. Some good texts coming in from 0257. Scott, yes. How long does it take to count a billion pennies? I have no idea. Here's a good one. I put all my change and single bills in a jar every night and save it for a vacation. Aww. It usually comes out between $3,500 and $5,000 a year.
But that's someone who carries cash. I don't carry cash, so it takes me a lot longer to amass coinage.
But I do carry cash.
No.
And so then... I don't buy with cash everywhere I go, but I use it.
If you didn't carry cash, you'd have no reason to go to the bank every day.
I don't go to the bank every day, Sam.
I sometimes think he's like that fish in that place.
All right.
It's sad.
Give me some cardboard cutouts of humans.
He needs to interact with people.
It gets lonely in the morning.
Go to the bank. I think I'll go to the bank.
Hey, Marge. Oh, hey, Scott. Back again today, huh?
Actually,
yeah, I need another $20.
Listen, I'm not kidding you. They know me by name.
You're the only one that goes in there. It'd be kind of tough not to.
That's not true, Sam. Sometimes I have to wait in a line of two people. But no, they know me by name now. One young man calls me Mr. Parks, and one lady, her name is Piper, she calls me Scott. That's right. Dakota in Independence. Dakota, hello.
Hey, love the show. Two things. One, did you say you keep coins in your wallet?
Just
like
for the
billfold?
Just for the day, yes.
Strange. Second,
it's a very European thing to do.
Europe.
Well, I know we're not in Europe.
And the second thing is, did you know that Kansas City was the only state and city in the entire U.S. that had two active Federal Reserves at one time?
I did not know that.
Yes, they closed the old one in 2008 when they moved out.
That recently, huh?
Yep.
I had no idea.
I've always wondered what it must be like to work at the Federal Reserve.
Now, Dakota, for the record, I know you said that me keeping coinage in my billfold was strange. I do not like things in my pockets. So I keep it in my backpack and it's out in the newsroom.
Is it because you're always in tracksuits?
Yes, Dakota, if you must know, it's because the pants that I wear don't have back pockets.
Love your show.
Goodbye.
or front pockets, if we're going to be honest.
I mean, Serbian mobsters can't carry their wallet in their pocket.
You have somebody else carry it for you.
All right.
913-586-7798. Elon Musk, who is now leading DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, writing that he is going to propose that the United States get rid of the penny, which Dana and I were both shocked to learn it's more expensive now to make it than it used to be. It now costs 3 cents to mint every single penny, which, of course, is only worth 1 cent. And he wants to get rid of it. The United States, which is to say us, we pay $179 million every fiscal year to mint pennies. $179 million per year. There are 11.5 billion pennies in circulation today.
Sounds like a great use of $179 million.
Now, people would argue, and Sam, hang tight. Sam in Parkville will get with you in just a second. If the phone's ringing, Sam will be with you, our Sam, in just a second. But people are going to say, $179 million, that's just a fraction of a fraction of the entire U.S. budget.
Well,
every year.
So is the coins in your pocket.
But that's my point. It's still $179 million that we can stop spending. And once you get a bunch of $179 million projects, all of a sudden you're saving real money. Sam in Parkville. Hello. Welcome.
Yeah, how y'all doing? Great show, by the way.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind.
And I have a 5-gallon bucket that it's a Culligan water bottle.
Yeah.
It had 7.5 inches of nickels, dimes, and quarters. No pennies at all. I actually separate my pennies out. How much do you think that was?
It's 7.5 inches of a Culligan. I used to use the same thing.
Hey, Culligan, man.
Right. Of a Culligan water cooler. I would bet 7.5 inches. I would bet it was $3,000.
You are literally the closest anybody's ever been, but it was $3,405.
That is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, I literally could not pick it up, and I'm a pretty stout guy. And it just it shocked me, but I have been collecting coins ever since then. I separate my pennies out, and pennies, if you put them in there, I actually had almost 7 inches in it one time, and it was about half because of all the pennies that were taking space in there.
Huh.
You know, but I've got a friend named Carl that actually is going to text me here in just a second, because every time I'm on the phone with y'all, he's like, get off my radio. So it's funny.
Hey,
his name's Carl Williams out over in Topeka, and he is literally going to text me in just a second because he always hears me.
I'll be done. Well, Sam, tell Carl we said hello, will you?
I definitely will. Have a great day, guys.
All right, do the same, buddy. Take care. Steve in Independence. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, thank you.
I would prefer not to stop printing pennies because they always make mistakes on these pennies, and I collect those. And so far this year, I've already made $2,500.
On mistaken misprinted pennies?
Yeah, double stamp, die cast errors.
How did you become such an expert on the
Well, I'm not an expert.
Well, you sound like it if you made $2,500.
Well, hey, guys make hundreds of thousands off of these pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters that, you know, are misprinted.
I'm reading this now, Steve. We learn something new every day, I swear. One of the most exciting parts of collecting rare coins is searching for error coins. But you need to know what kinds of penny errors to look for to get a real gem. Inspect your pocket change whenever you can in hopes of finding your next treasure, especially if you're fortunate enough to find currency with a precious Lincoln penny or a U.S. Mint error.
Hmm.
I mean, like, what kind of error? Double die is one of them. One of the most common penny errors is a double die penny. Errors in the hubbing process that creates the die can result in double die errors.
A double die would be the same, you know, the Lincoln's face stamped twice in two separate angles.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at one that says it's a double die penny, and I can't even tell why it's a double die.
I was a bit of an amateur coin collector in my younger days.
Is that to say that you had the 50 States quarter book?
No.
Oh.
I have an English penny from 1900. Their pennies were huge back then. And I have, and I snuck this out of East Berlin. I have a now defunct East German mark.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'll probably bring them in tomorrow. I'll hand you a West German mark in one hand and an East German mark in the other. And it is completely different. The Eastern Bloc countries were so poor. They printed their coins out of aluminum.
Oh, gosh.
It feels like you will barely know that you have a coin in your hand.
Among some of the coinage that would be worth something is the clipped planchette penny. And think of the word clipped exactly like you would think. Among the most noticeable penny mistakes are clipped errors, which are usually identified by a slight crescent-shaped clip removed from the side of the coin. It literally looks like someone took a machete.
Yeah.
It's a perfectly normal penny, except on one of the, I shouldn't say one side, it's circular, but in one space, it looks like someone took a machete and lobbed off.
If you're looking at the coin with Lincoln's head, it's on the left side.
Yes, where it is clipped, thus the clipped penny.
So it's not perfectly circular. At one point on the penny, it is a straight edge.
Love it.
Let's grab Chris in Kansas City and then and we'll wrap it up here in just a minute. Chris, you get the last word. Hello.
Yes. So I am in favor of it, getting rid of the penny. You know, it's been 15 years or so since Canada got rid of theirs, and I was just in Canada last week.
Huh.
And it works really good. What they do is they have the penny as an electronic form of payment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then when everything gets added up, including sales tax, okay, they then round to the nearest nickel. And
okay.
You get... And if it comes off the tax, so it works out really, really well. They also, the smallest bill they have is a $5 bill. They have a dollar coin and a $2 coin. But our merchants, if we got rid of the penny, got rid of the dollar bill, and made you use the dollar coin, okay, and came out, reissued the $2 bill. Everything works out in the sales drawer, cash drawer, which is, the merchants are the ones who are always against it, but it works out that way. But the other thing is I believe if you check, we also spend more than a nickel to mint a nickel of the metal.
It costs 11.5 cents to make one nickel. We got to take a quick break. She is Dana Wright. He is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
So we were talking about currency,
yeah.
And we had a caller who brought up Canadian money and how they do it there.
Yes.
Now, we've got coins, we have dollar coins here, but in Canada, they have dollar coins and $2 coins. And what I love so much about their coin money in Canada is what they call them.
Okay.
The dollar coin is the loonie.
The loonie?
The loonie.
The $2 coin is the toonie.
No way.
You got any loonies or toonies?
I'll see your loony and raise you a toonie.
I love it.
Now, one thing to point out, and I hear what the caller was saying about, Canada doesn't have a $1 bill or a $2 bill. We have both, of course. The United States, over the years, has tried to almost, at times, force down our throats the idea of a $1 coin, the Sacagawea coins that came out in the early part of this millennia. And for whatever reason, Americans aren't biting.
They're heavy. Nobody wants that heaviness in their pocket. People actually come into the gas station and they specifically ask, did you guys get any dollar coins today? And they will buy every single dollar coin.
Is that a toonie or a loonie in your pocket?
Well, that would be a toonie.
No, a toonie.
No, that would be a loonie. You're right.
But I have asked for Sacagawea coins. I have a couple because they're so rare. Just like a $2 bill. Who's on the $2 bill?
Andrew Jackson.
That is false. He's on the 20.
Jefferson.
That is correct. Who's on the 10?
I don't know. I don't carry cash, ever.
Alexander Hamilton.
You know, when homeless people ask me for change, I legitimately am not lying when I say...
You got Venmo?
I don't have any cash. By the way, I saw fake give us your money people the other day at like 95th and... Where were we? Where's the Nordstrom Rack? 95th and whatever.
Quivira.
We're right over there by 95th and Quivira. And there's three men on the medians with those little, buckets of change, and the sign that says, help us keep women off drugs. How they're doing that, I don't know. The answer is they're not. And
we see
a police officer. I think it was Lenexa. It might have been Overland Park. Police officer goes past one of them, rolls down the window and says something. And then the officer turns around, like pulls a U-ey and starts coming back. And one of the scammers does the universal symbol for wrap it up. Like does the little whirly-whirly with his finger.
Hooty-hoo!
Like wrap it up. Huh. We're driving by. We're in the turn lane. And I go, fake scammer, scammer person.
Why?
And then he yelled back, the scam is you. And I'm like, what? That doesn't even make sense.
You're like, well, got me there.
The scam is you.
Enjoy your meth.
So the officer did a U-ey?
Did a U-ey. Whoop, and then you saw the one guy say to his ne'er-do-well comrades, "Rap, we got to go."
Yeah. Was it a U-ey or a two-ey?
It was U-ey because they were collecting two-eys.
How's your hamstring on that one?
It's pretty stretched.
It's quite the stretch.
I get so mad.
Apparently, fake scam.
And my my person is now going to be MP. I'm tired of saying my person. MP goes, okay, let's not yell at the scammer people. Like, it's okay. You know, let's not scream at them.
Oh, MP for my person. I was going to say, those are not his initials. Got it. My person is now MP.
He's MP.
I like that better.
I do too.
My okay. BF? MBF?
What's that?
MBF? My BF?
No, MP.
We got to run. News is coming up next, then the bonus hour. Don't forget to check out our podcast. It is available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks. And God willing, back tomorrow for Festivus Friday, 2 o'clock the show starts. We'll see you tomorrow. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.